Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, June 14th, 2022.
Good.
Okay. I'd like to welcome everyone this evening. We're going to the Ventnor City Planning Board of the June 14th, 2023 date is now in session. Thank you for all coming. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, will you all rise and salute the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And would our board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Landgraf.
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zabihach.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tocco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Yeah. Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin, Lorraine Salata, and Wendy Bartlett.
We have four. At this time, we have the adoption of the minutes from the May 22nd meeting. Are there any amendments or changes to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I am abstaining because I was not present. And the motion carries. The minutes are hereby adopted. We have two resolutions this evening. They are P23 of 2023, James and Karen Pearlstein, and P24 of 2023. New Heights VC are on 111 Dorset Avenue. Are there any changes or amendments to those resolutions? If not, may I have a motion for an adoption of said resolutions?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let the record reflect, I've abstained because I was not present. Okay. The motion. And Mike Wiesen also. And the motion carries. They are hereby adopted. This evening, are any cases have been postponed or pulled?
Yes.
From the application. Which ones are they, please?
The third case on the list, Harshad Patel, 316 North Oxford Avenue, which is block 214, lot 14. The applicant sent out notices for tonight's hearing to everyone within 200 feet. It appears, by what he sent to Carmela, who forwarded to me, that he sent the notice to the press, but for whatever reason they didn't get it in there, and so we have to bump him. Seems to be no fault of his own, but we have to bump him to July 12th, 2023. The applicant won't be required to resend notices to everyone within 200 feet, but he will correct that error, get it in the press. So if you're here for that application, it's going to be July 12th, 2023, 6:30 p.m. in this room, and you won't get a new notice in the mail, but it will be in the paper.
Okay.
Is that a requirement? You get a notice?
If you're within 200 feet, according to the tax assessor's records, you should have gotten a notice in the mail.
I'm right next door.
You did not get one?
No,
did you get a certified letter?
Any that is on the other side, 314, not 318. And I had to see her letter in order to know what was going on here.
What's your name?
My name is Joe Pagano.
Joe Pagano, and your address is?
318 Oxford.
318 Oxford, and then, and you are?
She's 314, Jenny.
314, and what's her name?
Emma Todd.
Emma Todd, okay. What we'll do is, because they have to provide proof that they've satisfied that, so tomorrow or next week, call Carmella, and if they didn't send you the notice and you're not on the list, we'll look into it.
Well, you might think, since I live right next door.
Well, you should be
on that list.
You should be on the list. Now, whether sometimes people don't go pick up their certified mail, the only obligation of the applicant is to send it by certified mail and provide proof that they sent it to us. We get some, I'm not saying this is your case, but we do have cases where someone said, "Well, I didn't go pick up my certified mail." Well, you know, then that's kind of on you. But if it wasn't mailed, they have to provide proof of that. So we'll double check that, and if not, we'll make them send new notices.
No problem.
Okay.
No problem.
But we won't. The reason I make that announcement, we don't want you to sit here all night and expect to likely be back here on July 12th.
Sure.
Okay.
No, thank both of you for coming this evening.
Is there anything that I need to bring with me? I'm not doing anything, but I have a survey of my property, and I don't know if this property, there's been no markings, no flags for surveys. So I'm just wondering, if they put applications in for variances, don't you think by now we should have saw some kind of markings or flags indicating where the property ends and where it, I don't know. She hasn't seen anything either.
The whole application file should be on file in City Hall.
Okay.
So you can go down and view that during normal business hours and see what they submitted. You'll have on July 12th, assuming it's July 12th, there'll be a public portion. You can say whatever you want to say.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you again for being here this evening and actually asking questions and being informed. That's a good neighbor. That's what you should be doing. The next, the applications this evening will go as Herbert and Marcia Spivak at 105 South Nashville. And then the applicant should be Brian and Mary Peterman, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then where is the CNC?
That's the Spivak application.
Okay, that's the Spivak. Okay.
These are on one.
Well,
two.
You're up first. You have the lottery. So,
and then you want me to jump in?
Yeah, go ahead, jump in.
So, Mr. Miller, this is technically a continuation of the last hearing. So what we're going to do is the only board member who wasn't here last time is the chairman. So he's going to recuse himself. He's not going to participate. Now, to the extent there might be some overlap, you might have to, you know, go back and repeat yourself a little bit, but it is a continuation. The board recalls this application. This is for the CNC.
Don't break those chairs. They're expensive.
Roman, you want to take my seat for a minute? Okay. Thanks, Jay.
You're welcome. Glad you're back.
We all work together. See, you get back here and you're thrown right off your ass as soon as you get back.
Mrs. Todd was my teacher, and so was her husband.
Please proceed.
Thank you. May it please the board. My name is Andrew Miller, and you're kind enough to allow me to supplement the record. Could you please you were kind enough to allow me to supplement the record after the last hearing to better provide evidence to better answer the questions concerning our application for a certificate of nonconformity involving a long-standing apartment unit in the basement at 105 South Nashville Avenue. Last week, we delivered photographs of the property that better describe the conditions, and I've brought with me Steven Spivak, who is Herbert Spivak's son. You heard from Herbert Spivak at the last hearing, and Steven's recollection, I'd like to have Steven sworn, and he'll testify to these photographs and to his recollection of the use of the property, particularly prior to 1979.
Okay. Mr. Spivak, just state your name and address for the record, and I'll get you sworn in.
My name is Stephen David Spivak, and I currently live downtown in Philadelphia, 1924 Rodman Street, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Is that the PH or a V, Stephen?
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time here.
PH or a V?
Oh, sorry. PH.
Thanks. Got it. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Spivak, would you tell the board how old you are today?
I'm 55 years old.
And how long has your family owned the house at 105 South Nashville?
Since 1969.
What year were you born?
67.
Do you have recollection of this property your entire life?
Absolutely.
We're here today about the use of the basement of the property. What was the use as a child?
It was used for others. It was an apartment that was never used by our family.
Okay. And that's my next question. Has the basement apartment ever been used by your family?
No.
Has it been rented?
Yes.
Has it been rented to many people?
Yes.
Okay. Has there been any long-term tenants?
Yes.
How long would you say?
It was always rented for summer months, and the last tenants we had in there, they signed the lease in 1987.
And they were the same tenants through when?
Until about 3 years ago.
All right. Now, the board already heard that this was a property that was owned by several families together. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Who were the families that owned it? Not their names, but their relationship to you.
Sure. It was my father and my mother, and was my mother's two sisters.
And their husbands as well?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And who in the family managed the rentals every year?
That wasn't my father, but it was my uncle Jack Wolf.
Okay. Is Jack alive today?
Unfortunately not.
When did Jack pass?
I think about 2 years ago. About 2 years ago.
Okay. Now, from your earliest recollection as a child, was there always a separate kitchen in the basement?
Yes.
From your earliest recollection as a child, was there always a separate entrance to the basement apartment?
Yes.
From your earliest recollection as a child, was there always a separate bathroom in the basement?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to show you a series of photographs that the board has. And the first page, is that a true and accurate photograph of the front of 105 South Nashville?
Yes, it is.
And the second page, can you tell the board what that page depicts?
That's the side of the house with the separate entrance to the apartment.
Okay, and that's a basement entrance?
Yes.
And the third page, what does that depict?
These are the electric meters.
And what spaces in 105 South Nashville do these meters serve?
The upstairs and the downstairs. The downstairs apartment, the upstairs living area.
Okay. Now, please tell us what these electric panels are.
This is the one for the upstairs.
The first one is for upstairs?
Correct.
And the second one?
That's for the downstairs apartment.
All right. The next page, what does that depict?
That's the kitchen apartment. Or the kitchen in the apartment downstairs.
All right. And this page?
That is the bathroom in the downstairs apartment. That is the living room in the downstairs apartment. That is the laundry in the downstairs apartment.
Okay. And is this laundry a separate laundry?
Yes.
And does it only serve the apartment?
Yes.
Is there a second laundry?
Yes.
And who uses the second laundry, the one that's not depicted here?
Everybody in our family upstairs.
Okay. How is the apartment heated?
It's with baseboard heaters that are electric.
And does this photograph depict electric baseboard heaters?
Yes, that's the one from the living room.
And the next page?
That's the one from the kitchen.
And that's an electric baseboard heater?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell the board what this photograph shows?
This is a thermostat for the downstairs apartment for the electric baseboard heaters.
All right. And is that another thermostat in the kitchen?
Yes.
Now, there's a boiler, a photograph of a boiler. Where is that located?
That's located in the laundry room. For the upstairs, and that controls all the heat upstairs that is gas and radiator heat.
Okay. Does this boiler serve the apartment in any way?
No.
And finally, there's a door depicted at the bottom of the stairs. What is that door?
That's the entrance from upstairs to downstairs into the apartment.
And is there a lock on that door?
Yes, there is.
And is the lock accessible from both sides of the door?
No.
Which side of the door is that lock accessible?
Our family side.
Okay, and is that door kept locked?
Yes.
Thank you. Those are my questions, Mr. Spivak.
I believe one of the points that the board was making at the last meeting was that you needed to show the year of record that was 1978, that would have been whether it was a two-family.
Right. I think we
structure.
We said
did you get any information to
no, sir.
Support
the only, the only evidence I have of that prior use is Mr. Spivak's recollection.
Yes. I think so. Yeah.
I think board the question, Mr. Chairman, was we didn't know what the test year was. So I think part of it was have Carmelo or Roger talk to Jimmy, and that's when we found out it's 1978. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I think the property record card and some of the leases show that that second unit existed. I think, at least that was my question last month.
70 shows two units, assessed the two units.
Right. So I think that was really my question. And the pictures certainly help, and the gentleman's testimony certainly helps.
Do board members have any other questions or comments? I think the proof is there.
Thank you very much. And I sincerely appreciate the second opportunity.
We'll just let the board members go through the
70.
Paperwork. So why don't you tell them?
Yeah. I'm looking at one of the initial submissions, the property record card dated it's 1970. I don't know the exact date, which that doesn't matter as long as it's 1970. It says it was built in 1911, and it shows the two units. And now we have further information, testimony from the applicant's son, and confirmation from our zoning office that 1978 is the year.
The test year.
Yeah.
Do we need to open up for the public?
Might as well.
Okay. There's no questions or comments from the board. I'll open up to the public. Anyone has any comments? Seeing no one does, I'll close the public portion. I think you're complete, correct?
Thank you very much.
I see no questions, so.
Sure. If there's no further questions from the board, we'll need a motion and a second to grant a certificate of nonconformity to allow the two units, the basement apartment and then the upstairs unit on this property. That's it. And then.
Can I have a motion?
Make a motion.
Second.
Carmela, could you do the roll call, please?
Mayor Landgraf?
I think the proofs have been provided, the clarification from the test year, as well as the testimony of Mr. Spivak, makes me comfortable enough that this apartment definitely existed. A lot of homes of that era always had this ground floor apartment, and this one's been continuously used, apparently, since before 1978, so I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I agree with Mayor Landgraf. The proofs were given, the testimony is in line, and as he said, a number, especially in that neighborhood of homes, had those secondary apartments. It was common practice. So yes, I support the application.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
I also agree that the proof provided at the prior meeting and the testimony of this meeting indicates that it was a two-family unit, so I vote yes.
Dan Smith III?
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I think it's clear that now that we have the test year, the proofs are there. So.
Mike Wiesen?
It's a throwback 45 years for me because my first year of college, I stayed in an apartment exactly like that, a block away, and I said, holy smoke, that was good times, you know. But yeah, it's, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You get 1970 and pictures, testimony, yeah, I vote in favor.
Peter Taka.
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I feel that the proofs have been put forth and holds up.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. I think the documentation shows that it was there before the test year and should be approved.
Greer Gaskell.
I also vote yes. There's more than enough evidence to show that it's been a two-apartment downstairs and a single-family upstairs.
Jessica Stoey.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. You have records from 1970 indicating it was two units and that predates the test year. So.
You have a unanimous vote.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
you're welcome.
Thank you guys for your time and your consideration on our behalf of my family.
And good luck with the continued use of the unit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And at our next meeting, we adopt a written resolution. You'll get a copy of that.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Every week.
Good job, brother.
Yeah.
Good job.
Welcome back, Mr. Chairman. Exactly.
Okay. Look at the apartment and the ceiling.
Yeah. You want to
do it? Very short.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I'll bring that up.
The office, yeah. Find out.
Same house.
Okay. Mr. Peterman?
Yes, sir.
You are a licensed architect. We'd have everybody sworn on your part.
I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey, along with being the co-applicant in this application.
You still need to be sworn.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. So.
And is your other person going to speak also?
Yes, this is my wife, Mary Peterman, for the record.
And you'll have to have both be sworn.
Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Peterson, if you just state your name and address for the record, I'll swear both in together.
Peterman.
For the record, Brian Peterman, Mary Peterman. 11 Hopkins Street, Voorhees, New Jersey. Also 15 North Baton Rouge, Ventnor City.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do.
And you're the homeowners, but you're also a licensed engineer in the state of New Jersey.
That is correct. So forgive me, the exhibits are probably a little bit more than what you would see on a typical applicant, but it's an occupational hazard on my part for representing boards and applicants for the past 30-something years. So just has that redundancy.
Mr. Peterman, we're going to do two things here. One, we're going to accept your credentials as a licensed thing, and then our engineer and planner is going to do a preamble first.
Very good.
We'll pick it up and then continue.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
So we need Roger McLaren this morning.
Sure. Mr. McLaren, please raise your hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman and board members. I'll be brief on this application. The applicant appeared for this board in 2021 for the same property, seeking variances for lot width, lot area, and rear yard setback, and that was it. So today he's in here to, or the applicants are here to seek three additional variances, one being front yard setback to the porch and deck, whereas the existing house had 1 foot, they were seeking 1 foot, and they were originally approved for 7 foot, which matches the ordinance requirements. The second one is the lot coverage, whereas 75% is required. The prior structure had 97.7%, and now they were seeking 87.9% lot coverage. And inversely of that, the landscape coverage goes down now below the minimum required of 25%, so they would need a variance for 22.1% for landscape coverage. All other requirements are hold, and I will turn over to the applicant at this time.
Thank you very much. Just as a point of record, the We did recalculate the numbers of the impervious coverage. We were previously granted, or we met the ordinance at 75. With the increase dimensions of the proposed deck, that will then reduce the coverage to 77.3, which will then net out the open space of 22.7, 22.8, as opposed to the 25, which we had met under the previous application. So again, we're here this evening, as your board professional stated, we were here a couple years ago for this same property. It was a single family house. When we came in for the new construction, it obviously had to meet your flood regulations and to raise it up and needed some of the variances in that regard. It's a very small lot, but it is uniform to what the area is. We are now finally under construction for that dwelling, and as we look through, and the pictures are in your packets, individual packets, is as we go through there, the setback of the dwelling and the deck are in our opinion, substantially recessed to the adjoining properties and every other property that's on that north side of Baton Rouge. So that's why we had wanted to come in and ask for the board's consideration to enlarge our decks, not moving the structure any closer, but to widen the deck. We have a unit, a townhome unit at 15 North, and one of the big things that we like is that outdoor space of the front porch. That was the one thing we didn't have with when we came in before for the application and met the requirements of a 5-foot wide deck. Being that we are kind of recessed back on the adjoining two homes, we're hoping to increase that deck from 5 to 10 feet and actually looking to expand both the first floor deck, if you will, and the second floor deck consistent. So we have that uniformity there. Just to give you a little history again, my wife's family's been at 15 North since 1962. We have a growing family. So that was one of the reasons why we were moving to 7 North, along with the availability of parking. One of the statements we had when we came in before was, were we able to provide two parking stalls inside and also really basically an informal space, if you will, in the driveway without inhibiting the sidewalk passage. So it gave us a lot of parking, a lot more than we have now, which we have zero. And that was one of the big things that we chose that spot as well. So as part of the testimony this evening, we have to provide both the positive and negative criteria to show that it meets the intent of the municipal land use law. And certain testimony is required. This is to address that the positive criteria meets or exceeds the potential negative criteria that may result. Municipal land use law lists 15 separate purposes that relate to the public health, safety, establishment of appropriate population density, desired visual improvements, etc. We believe the following are met: items 1, 2, 3, and 9. Item 1 says to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use and development of the lands in the state of New Jersey in a manner that will promote public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. In this particular case, we believe that the proposed open air decks are consistent with the use and location of the adjoining uses, and therefore we are consistent with the surrounding areas and have no impact to the adjoining parcels. To secure safety from fire, flood, panic, and other natural man-made disasters, updating the unit improves the flood protection of the area and has it more in design standards of the requirements now. And item 3, to provide light, air, and open space. The proposed open air decks provide outdoor spaces for enjoyment without impacting adjoining uses by not having elimination of visual blockage or something like that. The open air continues to let that go. Visible, you can still see through it in essence. And then item 9, to promote a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangement. The new construction improves the pre-existing housing unit, both visually and good civic design by improving, by meeting the design standards. Again, we're looking at this as a family home. We have a growing family, so it gives us both the availability of additional space and
most importantly, parking. As if you've gone up and down Baton Rouge, it's in some of the other streets in the city, it could be quite a challenge. So we're really looking forward to that, as opposed to once we park and can't really visit a lot of the areas of town that's beyond walking distance. So that's really kind of the purpose there. It gives us, again, more living space and more consistent with size of the adjoining decks and such of the properties. The one just gave us property, and you can see the one exhibit here with the arrow shows that consistently all the adjoining parcels are between 0 and 1 foot off the setback. The second exhibit is more of a detailed look, having our proposed home here and the adjoining parcels all the way up and down the north side of Baton Rouge in this block at 0 to 1 foot of setback. And then the last exhibit is really the floor plan describing the two parking stalls and the other two habitable floors and then the attic, and allowing that additional space out front and then a roof back up to the side.
Mr. Peterman, quite honestly, you're moving a little fast.
I'm sorry.
You can just bring it down just a little bit so everybody can follow along with you.
No problem.
You're a master with your own plans, so it's
sorry.
Easy to do. Now, if you
let me just back up a little bit.
Right.
This one exhibit called the variance plan is basically presented so it shows that all the adjoining properties along the north side of Baton Rouge are at 0 or 1 foot of setback. For the record, we are looking for a 2 foot setback to that deck. We are looking to maintain the 12 foot setback as required under the ordinance for the primary structure.
Sir, I can't see that plan, but did you identify all the setbacks on that plan?
Yes.
Okay.
And they are labeled, and we'll be glad to give you to the record, you know, with your for your board.
Thank
I believe it was part of the record and part of the application.
It was.
And could you do one other favor?
Yes, sir.
You begin to list the variances you're seeking so we keep track of them.
Certainly.
If you just tell us which ones you're seeking.
I can provide that summary as soon as I can finish, if that helps.
I'd like to have it now.
Oh, you want to know? Sure.
Yes, we'd like to have the variances that you're seeking now so we can all understand what's going on.
Certainly. The variance as presented is to reduce the front yard setback for the first and second floor decks from 7 feet to 2 feet. That in turn requires a variance to slightly increase the impervious coverage from that which was previously approved and required under the ordinance. Goes from 75% to approximately 77.3. And that in turn then also generates the variance to reduce the open space requirement from 25, which is your ordinance, which we had previously presented, to approximately 22.7%. And those are the three variances that we believe are needed. And we also certainly provided notice to the adjoining parcels and the press of any and all other variances or waivers that, as may be required. So we do have that caveat in there. But those are the three we believe are required as part of this application.
Plan, or any of the decks or anything encroaching into the side yards?
No, sir. Okay. We are maintaining the 4 foot setback. Under construction, we did have a foundation location survey done, so we know we could still maintain that 4 foot setback requirement on both sides. So we wanted to make sure that was constructed as such before we proceeded.
Please proceed in your own manner.
Thank you
very much for your information.
Thank you. So again, that describes the setbacks, and again, that's part of the package. And then again, basically a deck exhibit, deck expansion exhibit plan also describes which decks are such and the balance of the property. And that was kind of an adaptation from what we had previously had approved. And again, it's for the, in essence, the first living floor and the second living floor, where the main floor is garage. And that is our presentation this evening. We thank you for the board, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that the board or board professionals may have.
Board members, ask away.
Yes.
Good. Is there a plan to open up the governor's strip at all? I mean, I know you have a driveway there, but is there going to be any other green space?
Yes. Well, as part of the previous approval, it was all concrete, pre-existing.
We had proposed the governor strip, two shade trees, and then the whole front yard, we had a landscape plan as previously approved.
Okay.
There will be some modifications because of the deck will now encroach a little bit, but we're not proposing to reduce any of the landscaping, just kind of shift it around a little bit so we can maintain that. So the park strip, and then from the sidewalk back will be basically a landscape that's not a walkway, a deck, or driveway.
Okay.
And matter of fact, some of the newer construction that I've seen encroaches kind of the landscape, or the landscape, not just grass, but landscape species, basically up to the sidewalk. So that would, if we're consistent with that in the general area, we could then push some of this landscaping out to the sidewalk, certainly without encroaching onto it, but to improve that visibility as well. So, and we could certainly work with any of your board professionals or your zoning officer as may be required to help that. But that was definitely approved previously, and we're not looking to amend that in any way, only entice it if we can.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Peterman?
Yes, sir.
I gathered snippets of your conversation where you mentioned parking, lifting, and FEMA. Is this house been lifted?
It's new construction. The other one was previously demolished, and it is up to code for elevation.
FEMA compliant?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how many parking spaces are you putting in this one?
They will have two inside and one in the driveway.
Okay. Is the driveway big enough to encompass a parking?
The setback from the roadway to the garage door is 16 feet. The dimension from the garage door to the sidewalk is 18 feet, which informally makes it a compliant spot. The previous three-bedroom dwelling had no parking. So we went through the previous submission. They required us to do two parking for this one, but we wanted to set it up a way that so long as we don't encroach into the sidewalk, we'd like to, you know, kind of use that as an informal parking spots for a smaller SUV or smaller car without inhibiting the use of the sidewalk.
So you're meeting your parking obligations in the garage, and your overflow will be in the driveway.
It's yes.
Size, but you don't. It's okay because you don't need it to count as a.
Right, but for our family, we certainly like to use it because we know how much of a an impact parking is. So we designed it originally to make sure that we could try to take advantage of the three on site if we could, without inhibiting the use of the sidewalk.
So the upper deck, you'll have the roof extending further out too?
Yes, that's correct. That's the desire, yes.
Okay.
So then both the upper decks the second floor deck will be a roof for the first floor deck, and there'll be a roof on top of the second floor deck.
That is correct, and we're proposing that for consistency.
Now, I asked the question, is there any value to slightly indenting the garage doors, because you're right at the 18 feet, and so your cars don't get pushed up or get back into the line, just a little bit of a buffer, so that there's room in there, so you don't crush your garage door.
Actually, that's one of the reasons why we set it back, was to provide that,
right.
Because the building's at 12, we actually have...
I know, but you're only 18 now.
So we're only 18 now to the sidewalk.
You have zero margin in that.
That is correct, and right now, we're running under construction, so we would have to change it, and then what we have the potential of, if we move that garage door further in, we may lose a parking stall inside because we have 38 feet inside. So we don't, that was the whole goal, is to make sure we had those two compliant spots inside, and then if we had a smaller vehicle that we knew wasn't going to encroach into the sidewalk, that's typically used in our, there's two properties right now that have that condition, and both of them, matter of fact, encroach into the sidewalk. So we're very cognizant of that, that, you know, that impacts us, and I can understand.
My concern.
And that's a goal, is that we don't do that.
Well, why don't I leave it this way? Is it, you're a savvy guy. So if you can find a 6 inches or a foot somewhere, and you can just move that door back a little bit, you'll love it, and it'll help you out big time.
I will do everything we can.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
There was just a lot of discussion on the setbacks, and I just want to make it sort of in plain English so I understand it. Even with the extended deck, there's your proposed deck will still be 1 to about 2 feet.
2 feet.
Shallower than the adjoining properties.
1 to 2 feet, because they're presently 0 to 1.
0 to 1, right.
So we would be 1 to 2, so we are a hair shallower than what's existing now.
Didn't feel right to give it a range. So that's the way I understood it, and it'll be light and air. There'll be decks, there'll be open decks, whereas the other properties are, in some cases, enclosed areas.
Yes, to our north or the beach side, if you will, that's all enclosed. To the bayside, it's enclosed because they have a first floor apartment below that's enclosed, and then they have an open deck on their second floor.
Right.
But yes, ours will be open.
Right.
I understand. Clear for the record, I agree.
So a few years ago, that roof would count as building coverage, but we changed the ordinance to allow the roof over a deck to count as lot coverage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the differentiation now. And it's still an open deck, both floors, so
correct.
It's still a deck.
Yes, sir.
No matter how you look at it. Okay.
Okay. Any other further questions or discussion? If not, I'm going to open up to the public. At this time, does anyone in the public wish to make comment on this application? I see a plethora of hands just raising up and swelling in the room. Since there's no public comment or no request, at this time, the public portion is now closed. Have you read Mr. McLaren's report on your property?
Yes, I have.
Is it acceptable to you?
Yes. As I said before, as part of the testimony, the only clarification I wanted to provide is that, for the record, there's a slight increase in impervious coverage from 75 to 77.3. For the total impervious coverage. The building coverage has not changed, and then that in turn requires a slight reduction in the open space.
Okay.
So we just want to clarify that. So those three variances. Other than that, I have take no exception to his report, and understand that any approvals will be subject to satisfactory addressing any of the open comments of his report.
The other question is that a lot of times when these decks are so close together, we often ask that there be a condition in the approval that they do not be enclosed.
That's understood.
And that's what
it's understood.
I would like to have that put in there.
We have no objection to that.
And so,
as long as our screens not considered enclosed.
They're not considered enclosure.
Okay. That's all. Yeah. That's all we look for, because the no-see-ums can be a little brutal sometimes.
No, we won't do that to you.
7 o'clock.
Okay. Are you complete?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. You're finished now and nothing further to add?
Correct, yes.
Thank you. And now, board members, you have questions of the applicant, of the professionals, before we go to a resolution? If not, Leo, could you prepare a resolution?
Yep.
You got to put it before the board so we can have a motion and a second.
Yep.
Vote.
The only question I have, Mr. Peterson, you said your front yard setbacks are going to be at 2 feet, or is it one?
It's 2 feet.
Two, okay.
Two feet to the deck. The house, the main structure will be maintained at 12 foot per ordinance.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's a C variance application. We need a motion and a second for the following C variances. It's the front yard setback to the porch and the deck. That's first and second floors. 7 feet's required. 2 feet's proposed. Lot coverage, 75% is our permitted maximum. The testimony was that lot coverage will now be 77.3%. And then the landscaping coverage, or the open space, as Mr. Peterman referred to it, 25% is required, and they're proposed at about 22.7%. The conditions I noted, they'll work with Mr. McLaren on the landscaping. All prior conditions continue. The work with Mr. McLaren as to acceptable landscaping, the decks will remain open and they won't be enclosed, and per the testimony, screens are not considered enclosed. And then we'll just say, you know, that the standard conditions we put in we impose on any applicant, anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed tonight, applicant will comply with any representations it made during the course of the hearing, and to the extent any other necessary outside approvals are required for this, subject to those approvals. So we need that motion, second, and a roll call.
We have a motion,
vote.
Please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second.
We have a second. Who's second? Okay, Tim, second it, and we'll have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Mayor Landgraf?
I support the application. I think this is a good solution to create more open space, more outdoor space on a very tight parcel. The aspect that it's still behind the other properties, existing structures on Baton Rouge Avenue, I think is a plus. Working within the landscaping he has, it is a very tight lot. Was it 24 feet wide?
24.75, yes, sir.
To create something like this, I think it works very well, gives you more outdoor space, and it does not negatively impact the neighborhood. I think it's more, this is what these buildings should morph into down the road, is what we'd like to see. So I vote yes on the application.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I agree that with and support the application. I think this is and I remember it in 21 when the application came, how efficient this plan was, and in a comparison to the homes that are there, that are this one has all the positives of being flood compliant and new construction in an area of our oldest stock. And I think the improvements that he's making are a benefit to the overall appearance of the street.
Thanks.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor enthusiastically on this project. First of all, Mr. Pino, I have to congratulate you for project creating. Should be looked at as you leading the way in your neighborhood, what other people can do. That word should get out. And I thank you for being up front and getting there and doing this. And if you can put that message out, it'll be even better. The whole neighborhood.
I will do my best.
The whole neighborhood will rejoice. That, back to the property itself, I think that, first of all, basically a design that was hopelessly outdated and poor use of the land that was there. You know it's tight, and you improved it, and you made it even qualified, so you had our CRS rating. All those things are benefit to our housing stock, and they are part of our master plan. So you've bettered your city as well.
Thank
in
you.
Doing so. The porch is the way it's produced. You could have gone further, but you stopped at a good point, and you're providing all the key things that are necessary in that plan. And you're sampling for air, light, and all of the other things that could be critical to your neighbors. You were sensitive to the neighbors as well, and you accomplished that in your plan. So with that, I give it a hearty congratulations, and I'd like you to get the word out.
Thank you, sir.
You've done a nice job.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also approve the application. We approved the prior application with variances. This is an enhancement variance, and I think it does not impair the intent of our ordinance. If anything, it supports it by adding a aesthetically pleasing new structure to the neighborhood. And I hope, as I said in the last time we had this, your application, that it starts other lots, other property owners to do the same thing you've done. So, yes.
Thank you.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I think that everything has been addressed, and very challenging situation here. The neighbors should think about, you know, they could also follow your suit here. It meets our master plan requirements very well, and there's no negative criteria whatsoever.
Thank you.
Mike Wiesen.
I agree with every comment made by the other board members, but I have to say, watching you do the presentation and taking notes and giving exact answers, every question that was answered, was extremely refreshing. Instead of hearing, it's a roundabout, it's close to, you know, you prepared that you should get a gold star. You know,
well, thank you.
It's just so nice to.
His wife's sitting next to him, like, he's got to do good.
Yeah. Yeah, my boss is right here. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And the aesthetics and everything is just beautiful. I'm in favor.
Thank you.
Peter Taco.
I personally have to vote against the application. I don't think that we should be repeating the sins of the past just because it's a new house. Because the other houses are at that level doesn't mean that this one should be. I believe that at some point those other houses are going to be demolished and rebuilt also. We're creating precedent that that's what we're going to accept. The zoning ordinances are there for a reason. We want setbacks. That's my reason.
Understood. Thank you.
Tim Coop?
I'm going to vote in favor. I approved this when it first came. It's a challenging lot. I hear Peter's thought, and I'm usually in that standpoint, but it's a deck that you're expanding. I think an increased usable deck is a good thing. It promotes neighborliness, connection to the others there, and I think it does it in a good way. So I'm okay with it.
Thank you.
Greer Gaskell.
I also vote yes. I don't believe there's any detriment to the neighborhood. It's flood compliant. There's only so much you can do with that lot size. And I too hope that the neighbors will catch on and start working on their places.
Thank you.
We're complete. You have been approved. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time this evening. Have a good evening.
Yes, sir. All right. Tim? Tim Cream? Mm-hmm. Do you have anything planned this evening? Any comments that we were talking about?
Good luck, Peter.
Any comments? Let's have a look at what we're talking about. Okay. First of all, in the evening, Peter raised some good points. And I think as a board, I always look for dissenting opinions. And sometimes dissenting opinions often make us think. So rather than, we're not passing judgment, but Peter makes us think. So with that, and we have time, and we should look at things how we do and why we do them. And Peter had a good thought process. But we should always be aware of why we're doing it, how we're doing it. And then the pros and the decisions are the board. But it's always the best way to do that. And I thank you, Peter, for voicing your opinion in that way. At the same time, we have other things that are going on in the city. We briefly were talking at the board a while ago, and new topics that were coming up is our business district. And in our business district, we did talk about a little bit some either minor architectural controls rather than the land-based thing, the whole thing, and also looking at the signage and so on, advertising, whether it's sufficient, insufficient, or what should be there. I have no answer on that. And so this is the area that I think our businessmen are appearing in the districts are improving. And I think the effort of the merchants themselves has a lot to do with that. I think your efforts, Tim, and the mayor's efforts have been fruitful in that area. So with that, I think it's another thing. If you could put an agenda or some topic possibly for us to talk about, either one of you, if it's wise to talk about it this time.
So I think Commissioner Kriebel, and I know maybe that's why Brenda's even here tonight, to talk about signage.
Right. So
we're going to look at some new signage packages. Right. I think Tim has some interest in that.
We're going to call Brenda. We're going to call you up in a minute if you'd like to speak before the board. You know, you just did. You just spoke.
So it's really, we're not quite there yet, Mr. Chairman. Right. But we will be looking at some signage package changes. Tim's got some ideas, and what I can hopefully do is take some of those ideas and put them into an ordinance.
So that's even better.
Some of these guys.
Yeah, I think my concern is that we're actively looking and trying to encourage new businesses to come. It's part of the reasons why we're getting changed zoning and use variances at the plaza. We're holding all these new businesses, these larger businesses, to the existing codes. So I think it's just important to be consistent.
Right.
The businesses that are existing to have those same, to work under the same umbrella.
I think it's a good move for what you're doing.
It's only fair. And then I also think that we can be self-critical of our of our ordinance to make sure that they're in keeping with the best practices.
Right. It's always good to look at ourselves through the mirror too.
So it's fun, yeah. So it's a good. I'm just looking at an opportunity to edit or remove some of the older things that are on there, and maybe incorporate some things that work well in other vibrant downtowns.
Okay.
There's casework out there.
Sure. Sure. I agree.
I believe we mentioned at one of the prior meetings about requiring minimum size glass frontages.
Right.
I think that really.
So that's in there now. Appealing.
One of the things that we've discussed in various venues, a lot of the VBA stuff, is blade signs. You know, allowing them to project from the face of a building. So when you're walking down a sidewalk, you don't have to, you know, do that to go look at what store you're going to. You
kind of like
see
how we have in the redevelopment zone.
Right. Yes, exactly. So you allow those blade signs to project. There's a little bit of a hiccup because it's in the right-of-way, so we would have to look at some options of either creating an area that they're allowed to encroach,
right,
instead of having everybody come in for that license.
Right.
You create that 1 or 2 foot easement that they would be allowed to sign encroach into that right-of-way.
How about height too, because if it's hot.
Well, it's a minimum height. You have to put it up. It's got to be about 8 feet is typical.
I'm saying the height at which it starts.
I know. It's about 8 feet.
It's above the traffic area.
It doesn't go out into the street.
Okay.
Just talking about sidewalks.
No, just sidewalks. I'm talking.
So it's been done. If you walk through the walk in Tanger,
okay,
in Atlantic City, they have blade signs that come out from the face of the buildings, and that's just something that in new developments, Collingswood has it.
Okay.
Haddonfield is very popular with it. There's some other communities that allow that to occur, and that's what I think we're looking towards. That and some other things. We're going to encourage awnings.
Right.
Right now, that requires that same license to come out into the street.
Right.
Let's create a 4, maybe a 5 foot area that doesn't require. The headache we're going to have
with the county
is that Ventnor Avenue, Dorset Avenue is a county road for most of its trip through our city.
Right.
County's going to give us some pushback with that. We'll work through it, but we'll, you know. Hey, we got a trailer move the other night, so.
Right.
So there's some things, and I think one of the time to do it, and Roman has brought up some other changes, and so have you, Mr. Chairman, with regard to a couple of our zones, the R4 and R7.
Right.
Changing, a lot of those zones are kind of overlap, and they mix uses, and the buffer to one to the other is different, so we want to amend the master plan to look at those things. So I think maybe that's a time to look at the signs as well.
Yeah, and one of the things that other cities do is they have a frequently asked question: what is a legal sign? Something that I don't think every new business or even existing businesses are aware of. So
right,
there could be just an education campaign for all the businesses that are out there to say these are the things that the code, and that they show examples. I'll send
right
them to Jimmy.
Yeah,
and maybe we can work on
sure
ACUA creating one that is specific to our codes in our town,
right,
that can be handed out to all the businesses, whether they're new or existing.
There's another option, and I started to do it at CRDA, and we're still looking to do that. So there's and I can't believe I'm going to say this, and I'm glad Mr. Peterman is not here because he would be pissed at me for saying it. Hamilton has what's called a form-based code. It's awful. It is the worst municipal code from land use standpoint ever to use, except for the signage portion of it. The signage portion of it is pictures. It shows you exactly what you're talking
right
about. And just taking a step back, why I hate form-based code. It bases the use of a building on its style.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to use a different word, I won't. It's just not smart. Every time I go back into Hamilton and try and get something done, it's a use variance because the use doesn't match the style of building.
Right.
It's idiotic.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. So, but it does make sense for signs. You go back to times when people in the world couldn't read.
Right.
Signs were pictures.
Right.
So that's what you want to go back to. Use pictures so it's easier for people to understand.
I love that.
Yeah. Right?
I love that.
The language barrier.
Yeah.
Bicycle.
When you were a cobbler, they put a shoe. You know, they put a shoe on the sign. That's, you know, that's kind of how the ordinance is set up. It's cumbersome when you get into printing it into a book, but it can be done. Seen it done.
When you talked about the photos, now we know experience with the casinos going over to Korea, They use the GUI system, which is basically a lot of photos, and some are very graphic, and it's wonderful to work with. So there's some things that it's practical with, and other things it's not. And the only other, I think, in the signs we should talk about, there's a lot of new technology of signs that are electronically, that have electronics within them, and all kinds of different, could have waterfalls, the flashes, the, you name it.
Well, we want to stay away from the, I personally don't like flashing signs.
Well, I agree, but we need to deal with that in our, right. We need to discuss, enumerate that in our ordinance.
Well, it is. You can't have flashing signs. So yeah. That's
but in there. I'm saying there's new types of these electronic stuff, high-tech things that are out there that we're probably going to start seeing. So we should, you know, we can, if people have any information, we should be aware of it.
I think probably we get a committee together, right. Set up with Roger and Jim Rutella, who helps with our master right. Planning, and then some board members, probably not Tim and I, right. But some of you guys get together, right. And then bring it to Jim and Roger, and, right. And then they can bring it to us,
that'll
and we
good.
Can look at it and go from there.
Yeah, well, I would even think, just something to make it easy for the owners, not only showing them examples and pictures, but is there a way to give them kind of like templates of like construction details or whatever, something easy that they can
so that's almost what this form-based code
okay,
does.
Okay, to go to the contractor, yeah. Not yeah. Just pictures, but something well, with like details and dimensions, like a template.
So honestly, the signage companies know all that already.
Yeah. Okay.
They have all that in their repertoire.
That's part of their submission anyway.
Yeah. So whatever it is to make it easy yep. For these owners.
Yeah, but my, you know, my grandparents had a pizza shop and they did not really understand why
yeah.
Somebody was telling them what to do. So a frequently asked question that graphically gives you an example of what an awning should look like and the fact that the letters should be on the front down flat rather than on and how
the
big
top,
the
yeah.
Letters should be and how much window percentage looks like is acceptable and how much is not. Those types of things. And we're not trying to be like Nantucket where they regulate the size of the shingle that's exposed
and
they all have to be the same shingle and they all have to be the same window. That's one side.
That's Haddonfield.
That's Nantucket and then you know and Atlantic City where it's all bets are off and you can put whatever you want. You know, we
not quite.
Somewhere
not in the tourism district.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'd like to say something. I'm going to tell you as a person that has a business, when I get any kind of notification, I instantly go defensive
yeah.
Because I'm pissed,
yeah.
You know, because I try to do whatever I have to do, but not to get a violation sent to me when a warning could be just as effective,
right.
You know, because when you look at something that says violation, it's like you just get pissed,
yeah.
You know.
But that violation, you have time to abate it.
Right.
Yeah. The wording of it.
When,
I get it.
When
I get
you're
it.
Asked, when you're asked to paint your what building in January, and nobody will paint, you know, and then you have to go down humbly and ask, can I have an extension so
yeah.
I can find a painter that will paint something,
right.
You know, when the weather's right, you know, so.
Yeah.
We could change how that goes out. The first thing should be a warning.
Right.
Should honestly, I would rather, instead of actually writing something, I would rather it be a verbal.
Right.
Just come out and talk to, and I've asked that to be done, and it's very rarely done.
I
it doesn't carry any weight.
Agree with that.
It doesn't carry any weight. That's the problem.
Well,
yeah.
Also, there's a cultural difference. Like if there's some people that aren't comfortable with English, that pictorial
right.
Would be more helpful. Yeah. It goes with a warning.
Yep.
You know, I my grandparents swear up and down. The guy that there's a young kid came here and told me I have to change my front window.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I agree. There's the cultural differences because when I was doing the business association before Brenda, I would go and meet everybody. And it was like, they didn't speak English. They didn't want to talk to you,
right.
You know? And that's a difficult situation.
In talking about the ordinances, one thing we didn't talk about was the lighting on the fronts of the building, which is just as important as the signage. So I think in that signage package, we should talk about the lighting on the building itself.
Okay. I like that, yep.
Because
goosenecks and things like that, different ways
actually,
to light it.
Yeah, it actually
yeah.
Enhances the building, enhances the lighting,
yeah.
And so on. And, you know, it enhances the streetscape.
Yeah, brightens up
and,
the sidewalk.
So that's what we should be looking at, if at all possible. And the other thing I wanted to add, I've been tracking Dorset Avenue from the bridge to CVS for about 3 years now, and talking to the merchants and so on. And each year I've been talking with them and so on. they seem to feel that the traffic from down Beach is increasing into their business. So they're actually, a bigger take from, is coming, a percentage of their business is coming from cars going by, and other than the neighborhood. So it's a good sign, it's helping them, it's improving, and that's it. But it's becoming a more productive corridor.
Yeah, we that is on our priority list to improve that corridor.
Right, but I thought I'd share that with you because I started that 3 years ago. I wanted to see how good it was, what was happening.
It's a little troublesome because, again, we keep saying it's a county roadway.
I know.
And that's the pushback. We've asked them to jointly apply for funding with us, and they've refused each time. So, not asking them for money, you know, hey, why don't you sign on a grant with us and try and get some DOT money like we did up in North Beach? Makes a stronger case. And they just have not been willing to do that. So I may take that a different way to ACIA, which is the Improvement Authority.
Right.
And see if they will go with us. And they have funding too, loans.
And another thing that Roman and I encountered when we were up with the county master plan several years ago, and it seems to have not gone anywhere, was the Farm Fresh program. And then there was this restaurant population here and the quality restaurants that we're attracting. That could be something that could be a good addition. And the county was supposed to be spearheading that. But the question is if the merchants want to do it, and if Farm Fresh would help our restaurant community and our community in general. But it's a program that we have. It's not being executed. And Roman, we thought that was a good idea then.
Yep.
And we still think it's a good idea.
We did discuss with the this association what areas they wanted to have planners.
Come on down.
Well, we were talking about you, Brenda. No, we're kidding. I'm kidding.
So we did discuss online where the business association would prefer to have planners done, and we identified that Dorset Avenue was the first choice. We carved out somewhere in the neighborhood of six for the first round, and they're expensive, and the upkeep's expensive. So we're starting at Dorset Avenue to have uniform planners and trash cans there. But again, as Lance said, we have to we have a layout that is going to go to the county for their approval because they're fixtures and they have to be bolted in order to use the monies that we're getting. So everything is, you know, takes longer than you'd like it to. But that's the plan, to start with Dorset and to have planners and trash cans that are similar to what is the county has put out.
Which will be a start. Which matches the North Beach ones.
Correct.
Yep.
And what was it that you and Roman saw a few years ago?
Farm Fresh program. Fresh foods. No, it would be restaurants using Farm Fresh products in their preparation of their food, which the county has a program on too. It has to do with tourism.
They advertise. They co-op advertising.
Right.
And, right.
Right. It's part of the tourism dollars, which Atlantic County doesn't have a lot of, versus Cape May. Cape May is very strong in it. We're lesser. So it's something we wanted to pursue, and it just seems it's not going by, not fault, not up there as much in the Atlantic County.
Right.
And the other thing I wanted to say is coming back, I moved out north while I look at things, is Vendor Plaza is really shaping up very nicely. And I've noticed that a lot of merchants that were marginal in certain areas have found a home over in Vendor Plaza. So it's actually been a home for retaining merchants that we have, and maybe even making a better showing for them, filling that center up and giving other opportunity for other people to go in their spots. So I think that the overall, it's been good for the city.
And Mark anticipates to have every square foot rented by fall.
But I think he's gone, and he's there's certain things he's picked up, like greens from Margate. He's picked up the
PJ Buckets is moving
PJ
out there.
PJ Buckets and so on in there. They've got a new venue. They get in there, so he's taking merchants and showing them how to be more successful at the same time and opening their spots up to other people. Mm-hmm. So the end result is that these great projects are stimulating more growth in the city.
Right.
So it's what's supposed to be happening, and it's happening.
We have a meeting tomorrow with the owner of is the Dollar General that's by itself?
Yes, Dollar General, yes.
The owner of that site is coming in to reactivate that redevelopment plan there.
With the high-rise, the mid-rise?
I don't know what their plan is, so we'll meet tomorrow. Roger, I think you're in that. Jim Rattell is in that.
I don't see it.
No, it's 3 o'clock tomorrow.
So, anyway.
I may not be able to make that, but Jim will be there. Stephanie Cuviello is the planner for the project.